Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
Is that War Rocket Ajax to bring back his body?
War Rocket Ajax. This is the internet's most destructive comic book and pop culture podcast, and we are your hosts back again for the first proper episode of 2016. My name is Chris Sims, and with me as always is my co-host, Mr. Matt Wilson. Matt, welcome back. We are back in our regular show mode. We are back for another year of 2016, kicking indoors.
We're in the regular studio instead of the Matt D. Wilson Memorial Auditorium. And it is good to be here. I feel good being back for another great episode of War Rocket Ajax. And we have what I would call a humdinger for everybody.
Kicking off 2016 with the first appearance of the word humdinger on the show.
Because Kyle Starks is here. Kyle Starks is our guest, the writer and artist of lots of comics that we love. Including Sex Castle, which just got optioned by Fox and the Russo brothers, and involving the Workaholics guys, which is some incredibly exciting news that we'll be talking to him about.
It's going to be very exciting. We're going to be talking to him all about Sex Castle, his placement on the World Heavyweight Champions list, all kinds of other stuff. But before we get to that, we've got a lot of show to get through. So why don't we start off with some business?
That's right. And our first order of business is to recognize our newest supporters on Patreon.
That's right, Matt. These are people who have gone over to patreon.com/warrocketajax and kicked in a few bucks because my health insurance went up. Because the company I got health insurance from dropped everyone they were giving health insurance to at the end of the year. So I had to go find someone else. And these are the people helping me do that over at patreon.com/warrocketajax.
Yes, my understanding is they ceased being an insurance company, correct?
Yeah, apparently under the Affordable Care Act, if like somebody gets a ongoing catastrophic disease, you can't just drop them. And that is how a lot of these smaller companies were making a profit. I don't know if that's the circumstance my people were under or not. So it does seem a little sketchy that they ceased to be an insurance company for everyone all at once.
Yes.
But so, I never had a problem with them. So
for those hang-ups in life. We are greatly appreciative for our Patreon supporters who include, and it's been a while since we've done this, so if I read any names of anybody that we've already read, if you get doubled up, just consider yourself a lucky duck. Jason Cimarelli.
Thank you, Jason.
William Hanna.
Thank you, William.
Steven.
Thanks, Steven.
I wonder if that's Stephen Colbert. Austin Wilden.
Thank you, Austin.
Jupiter Jazz.
Thank you, Jupiter Jazz.
Garrett Scott.
Thanks, Garrett.
And those are all our newest Patreon supporters. We very much appreciate all their help to keep War Rocket Ajax the show that it is and to create bonus content for our supporters and do every story of our specials every month, which we are going to continue in 2016. If you go to Patreon right now, you might notice some new rewards. In fact, one new reward. Once we reach the $1,600 level, the reason that that is the new level is that Patreon changed a little bit of the way that they report how much money people are receiving. They've taken out the fees and stuff, so it's more of a real number of what's actually going to the creators. Either way, when we hit $1,600, we're going to start doing new Movie Fighters bonus content. Very similar to what we did when Movie Fighters was on Bandcamp, and we would do a series of movies and then watch a cartoon or something and do a little piece as a bonus with the album. We're going to start doing that again if we hit that Patreon goal. We hope that's something you want from us. And if you would like us to get there, maybe kick in a few bucks on Patreon. That would help us out a lot. All right, Chris, we have done our business here at the top of the show. Let's do some checks and wrecks. So come on, before you wreck yourself. All right, Chris, what are you checking in with this week?
Well, Matt, as you know, I am notoriously unorganized. I'm really bad about anything that is not an immediate deadline. And I have been working under immediate, like, daily deadlines for so long that I have a lot of trouble kind of fixating on anything else. Like for example, Aiden asked me a couple days ago, what conventions are you doing this year? And I told her, I was like, oh, well, I'll do Heroes. We've got the Cultural Symposium coming up in March. We've got one in February in Charleston. I think that's about it. And then, like, she found out over Twitter that I had two more cons that I had completely forgotten to mention to her at all. One coming up in, I think, in April, and one coming up in October. And, like, I was like, yeah, but that's, like, April. That's, like, it's like 4 months from now. So I combined that fact with another fact about me that I've discussed on the show, which is that I have two literal crates of fancy notebooks in my office because I love buying fancy notebooks, and I rarely actually sit down and use them. So I am taking a page out of Kelly Sue DeConnick's book, and I am starting up with a thing called Bullet Journal. Now, Matt, are you familiar with this at all?
Not particularly.
It's a system of note-taking and organizing, and you can find that about it at I think it's just bulletjournal.com. And it's basically just, okay, get a notebook, make a yearly log so that you can write things in as they come up for the year ahead. Then you make a monthly page, and then you just make a daily page, and you go through every day, you write down the tasks that you have to accomplish for that day. And then you can also, like, take notes and write just anything that pops into your head. I really want to get into the habit of doing this because I miss note-taking with a pen and paper, which, weirdly enough, is more convenient for me to reference than writing something down on my laptop where I'm doing work. And also because I do want to get into the habit of actually using these notebooks. Like, I have so many that I think are cool looking, and I don't want to mess them up. But that's what they're there for. Like, that's what they have to be there for. So I am trying that out. I'm mainly just going through and putting down what I have to do that day and then crossing it off. It's interesting. I am jealous because if you look up Bullet Journal on Tumblr, you see, like, all these people who are in college who are, like, putting inspirational quotes and like, making it look super pretty and cool, and they're really using it to get organized. And meanwhile, I'm just, like, scrolling Ajax, Matt. In there for Thursday. One of my goals this year is to try and get a little more organized and try and keep up with things. And it's also a good way to help manage anxiety, I think. When things get kind of down for me, it's always nice to be able to be like, okay, here are the things I need to accomplish today. I need to do yoga. I need to eat. I need to write. So getting that kind of thing done is something that I'm looking forward to. And I'm enjoying it so far. I've only been doing it for this week. But check out Bullet Journal. Like I said, I heard about it from Kelly Sue's Tumblr, and I think she has been a big proponent of it. So all you need is a notebook and a pencil to do it.
Until one of these things ends up as evidence in a murder trial. And then the prosecutor is going to be like, Ajax Matt. What could that mean?
They would never convict me of your murder, Matt, because I have been present for your death on multiple occasions.
That's true. You've been a witness, not the perpetrator.
That's true. I was the voice of some ghosts once that got you, but that's it. That's as close as I've come. What's your check this week?
My check is actually some housekeeping for War Rocket Ajax and Movie Fighters. You may have noticed, if you have been listening to this show on the player on the War Rocket Ajax website, or if you listen to Movie Fighters, the newest episode about XXX State of the Union at all, that there are some ads at the top of that show now, and there may be an ad at the top of this show, and probably one at the end as well. for Geico or you know, various different things. I think I heard one for Joann Fabrics on an episode. They're kind of pre-recorded, like radio ads, kind of. The reason that those are popping up is that we have started in with hosting the show on Blog Talk Radio, which you may remember from years and years ago as being like an online live radio broadcast thing. Now it is a podcast network, and we are a part of that now. If you go to the Blog Talk Radio website, you'll find Movie Fighters and War Rocket Ajax there under the banner of Clytus Media. It is the one place that you can see the Clytus Media logo that Jay Gonzo designed for us, and it looks amazing. It's so good, and I wish we had more places to use it, like letterhead or something, but that is literally the one place where the Clytus Media logo is. Now that sounds like it could be something where we've lost some control over the show, or listeners are not going to get a fair shake or something like that. None of that is true. We still have complete control over War Rocket Ajax. If something doesn't work out or something goes weird with this, we can end it. If you guys simply don't like the ads, we can drop them. But we're trying this as a way to one, get another revenue stream in for War Rocket Ajax, make it more viable and possibly self-sustaining, make Movie Fighters give it some monetization of any kind at all. And I'm just being 100% upfront with you guys on this. I want to hear your feedback. If the ads are annoying and you hate them, let me know. If the ads are not anything you have a problem with, let me know that. If you like them for some reason, let me know that. They probably won't always look the same going forward. I know that we've talked about doing some live reads of some ads for the show, which I think would be more up you guys' alley than pre-recorded stuff that's going to be at the top of the show or wherever. Hopefully we're going to be doing that kind of stuff. And we also have control over how many ads go into each episode of the show. So we're not going to stuff the show with a bunch of ads. We're going to have just a few at most. One at the top and maybe one before the interview and one at the very end, and that'll be it. That would be the maximum that we would do. We're not going to overstuff the show with it. But one other note that I should make, this could affect whether people want to support us on Patreon, and we totally understand that. If this is something that makes you say, like, well, I don't feel like these guys should have my Patreon support anymore, we totally understand that. However, I'm going to say straight up, we'd still be getting way more from Patreon than we would be getting from any of this ad stuff. If the ad stuff is more of a hassle than it seems like it's worth, we'll just get rid of them, okay? We are just trying something out. We are continuing to host the show through Blog Talk Radio, so the feeds might be changing soon. Hopefully, probably nothing is going to change if you're subscribed on iTunes or so through some other podcasting app. But if you are directly downloading the show through a feed that you have manually subscribed to, you may have to change it. And I will let you know what that is soon, as soon as all that stuff is in place. But I wanted to be 100% upfront with all the listeners. Let everybody know what's going on, not just let you be totally blindsided by these ads that are in the show now. We'll decide what we're going to do if there's, you know, negative feedback in the weeks to come.
Yeah, and Matt, you did mention Jay Gonzo and the Clytus Media logo, and I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody who has done art for us in 2015. Jay Gonzo, Andy Siriano, who else, Matt? Who am I missing?
Well, we had Rodrigo Varga do some amazing artwork for us. That was some Patreon art.
Fantastic
Kyle,
stuff.
Kyle Starks, who we're going to be talking to very soon, did some art for us. And we should have another art piece coming in the next month or so.
Yeah, if you've liked any of the art that you've seen, go check those guys out. They are the best for helping us out with that stuff.
All right, time for some recommendations. Chris, what do you have to recommend?
Marvel Unlimited. the usual disclaimer, I am currently working for Marvel Comics, and honestly, part of the reason that I got this was so that I could do research for upcoming scripts, make sure that, you know, I have something there to be able to kind of get in the feel of some things, to be able to go back and do some research. And also because X-Men 92 is on it now, and I kind of wanted to see how it worked out on that. And a couple people let us know that that was a thing that you can, like, search for, and that Chad and I are both on there as creators, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I signed up for Marvel Unlimited, and it's pretty cool so far. I'm not 1,000,000% sold on it as, like, an alternative to something like Comixology, but, you know, I wasn't quite sold on Comixology at first either. It was something that I was excited about, but... you know, there's a lot of questions about, like, oh, but you don't own the stuff, you know, you can't take it with you. And I think Marvel Unlimited, there's an option where you can only have like 10 or 12 comics stored on your device locally for, like, if you're going on a trip or something. So it's not like it's something that is going to replace other digital comics platforms, I don't think. But at the same time, it does feel like following that Netflix model is an interesting way to go about dealing with a large library of comics. Like, that's something that I wish I could do with DC. You know, like, I wish I could give DC $10 a month and just have access to all 80s, 90s DC Universe comics, you know, that I don't already have, which is a considerable amount. I went back because I like Star Wars now. Again, damn it. I went back and reread through the first arcs of all the Star Wars comics. Read Lando number one. That one went up this week. That one was fun. Lobot has a lot of personality in Lando number one. But, you know, I've also gone back and read stuff like, you know, like X-Force. I'm going back and reading X-Force for when we're working with Rob. I'm going back and reading Armor Wars and Armor Wars 2, which are on there. So the next time we do an Every Story Ever special, I will have no excuse. I've got to get in there and read it. And thank you, by the way, to everyone who was like, hey, Armor Wars and Armor Wars 2 are on there. But yeah, like, it's, like I said, it's an interesting model. I'm having fun with it. And, you know, for me, it is, I mean, for one thing, it's a write-off. That's nice. For another thing, it is something that I think has paid for itself already. I think I signed up for a year, which is like $70. And I've read like 40 comics on it in the past 2 weeks. So I feel like I'm getting out of it what I want to get out of it. It does run a little weird sometimes, and you do need an iPad or an iPhone if you're going to read it with a tablet. It doesn't work on Kindle, which is a little annoying because Kindles are so much cheaper than iPads. And obviously, you know, with Amazon owning Comixology now, there's going to be a lot of integration there. It's certainly becoming a, along with Comixology and along with the Viz app, which could really use a new reader. Those are, you know, my go-to comics reading apps on the tablet. So yeah, Matt, what's your rec this week?
My rec is a game that you can play on an iTelephone, an internet telephone, called Mr. Jump. I discovered this game through the end of the year. If you go into the App Store, Apple has these collections of all these different apps, all these different games and various apps that were popular throughout the year and that they consider to be the top apps of that year. And so I started looking at, like, okay, well, what are some of the free games from 2015 that people really liked or that Apple really liked? And this game, Mr. Jump, was on there. And the game is very simply a game where a guy runs along and you tap the screen to jump at the right time. It sounds super simple, and it is, but it is extremely difficult. I have completed, I think, maybe 12 levels in the game. And there are actually two worlds. There's a World A and World B. I've completed 10 levels in World A and 2 in World B. And I've been playing this game for several weeks now. It's the kind of thing where you progress through a level, and you kind of figure out what you're doing and what's in there and when to time your jumps. And it's just repetition. You keep doing it until you get it right. And for some people, that's probably madness. For me, it's the kind of thing where once you finally do it, you get that amazing sense of accomplishment. And there's also the added aspect of it where as you go through each stage, occasionally there is a new thing that gets added in, a thing that you can jump onto that does something new. Like if it's a little white diamond and you jump onto it, you get an extra jump on that, where you can land onto on a platform. If it's a diamond that's flashing different colors, you get infinite extra jumps. So you're kind of jumping through midair to get to the next platform that you need to land on. Then there's a little mechanic where you can jump onto a square, or it's a little rectangle that's flashing, where you basically get a jetpack where you can fly. And there are these little mechanics that get added in through the levels that change the gameplay and sort of change the dynamic of a level. It's super simple and yet extremely deep and complex at the same time. And it's just this little kind of simple looking platform game. But it's also super addictive and I really enjoy it. It also, each level is just so distinctive. Like I'm going through the levels on my phone right now, and level one is kind of your basic, you know, green grass, blue sky background looking level. Then level two looks like a swamp. Level three looks like you're jumping around volcanoes. Four is an ice level. Five looks like you're jumping through some ancient temple. Level seven has almost like a Japanese pagoda feel to it. Level nine looks like it's in a desert with cacti. It's just, there's some neat art design. It's a cool looking game and it's fun to play. So if you're looking for a little time waster app to play, you could do worse than Mr. Jump. I think it's pretty fun. All right, Chris, those are our checks and recs. Let's talk about some comics.
Let's do it.
All right, let's kick it off with what I think we would agree is the biggest release of the week. It is the last issue of Secret Wars, Secret Wars number 9, which was delayed a bit, but is now out. The event is complete. There's a lot to like in this issue. There's a lot to like with Black Panther. There's stuff going on with Namor that's really interesting. There's a lot of various stories going on. Molecule Man is playing a big role throughout the issue. But really, it's the Reed and Doom stuff that won me over so tremendously in this issue. It is, I don't know how writers or creative teams are going to top this for a Reed Doom confrontation in the future. Because it's a physical fight, it is a mental chess game, and it is a war of words all happening simultaneously, where Doom is finally admitting things, and they're having an argument about who would be the better god. It's wonderful. And the way that it plays out is so nicely done, and the art is stunning.
Matt, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Are Reed Richards and Dr. Doom the two archenemies in comics who have had kind of the best, like, knockdown, drag out, this one's gonna end it all confrontations without, like, getting into a severe diminishing returns? Because there was, you know, there's the Secret Wars, obviously, and there's all the stuff that Hickman's kind of been building towards since forever.
Right.
there's the Mark Waid, Michael Ringo fight, which I know you love.
The one that ends with Reed having a melted face.
Right, the one that ends with Reed having a melted face and having to go talk to God about it.
Yep.
Like, and I don't mean pray, I mean go talk to God.
Yeah.
There's that Walt Simonson issue where they're fighting through time, and so their fight is happening non-sequentially throughout the issue, and you have to read the issue a second time, bouncing around based on the timestamps of their time travel bracelets to read the fight from their perspective. That's my favorite.
That one's like, really good.
Those are all like solid fights.
I mean, there's a handful of hero nemesis confrontations that are kind of evergreen, as played out as so many of the confrontations seem to be now. There are still creative ways to do Batman and the Joker. I think Snyder and Capullo proved that recently. There are still creative ways to do Magneto and the X-Men. A lot of people try to characterize it as Magneto and Xavier, but I think it's Magneto and the X-Men as a group. I don't know that it's only Richards and Doom, but Dr. Doom is so interesting. That's what really makes it, right? It's not Reed Richards. I like Reed Richards. I like the Fantastic Four. But it's Doom who continues to make those stories interesting.
When you think about it, like, Doom is in all three of those fights that I just talked about, Doom's the one who changes. Like, Doom's the one who's different every time. And it's kind of the same with the best Batman Joker fights. It's always a different Joker.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the job of the villain, right? Because the villains always lose, so they have to adapt.
That's a good point.
And heroes stay the same, more or less. I mean, this is probably the most different Reed Richards we've seen. He's been, you know, rode hard and hung up to dry or hung up wet. Is that how that expression goes?
It's rode hard and hung up wet, I believe.
Yeah.
Matt, you're busting a lot of cowboy-style phrases. Is that your thing for 2016?
Yeah, I'm gonna start talking like a cowboy this year. But, you know, he has been through a lot by the end of this. Like, the one who's been living kind of a cushy life is Doom at this point, right? And I guess the one really great Reed moment of this issue is his anger. He is angry in this because Doom got the opportunity to make a world in his image, and the first thing he did was steal Reed Richards' family. Mm-hmm. And there is a palpable anger from Reed in that moment. But the end, the period of Secret Wars, the series, is a Doom moment. And it's wonderful. I don't want to give it away either, but what a wonderful Dr. Doom moment for that final page, as that final image of the series. I love Dr. Doom, everybody.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Let's move on to the next book that we're going to talk about. That is Batman and Robin Eternal. And for the first time, I think, that we've been talking about this book, I've read it before you.
Right. This is Batman and Robin Eternal number 15, and I'm a little bit behind. I think I'm 2 weeks behind on my goal of reading Batman and Robin Eternal as it comes out. But it is something that I do want to catch up on. Like they were fighting Azrael last time I read it. So
they're still fighting Azrael.
I hope they fight him for the next 30 issues.
I think this one is kind of the culmination of it. This one is the climax of the Azrael fight. But we've talked about how this is a 90s Batman book. This is a 90s-ass Batman book. And if you needed further confirmation of that, this is Tim Drake fighting Azrael in Azrael's cult.
Called the Order of Saint Dumas.
The Order of Saint Dumas. And actually, Saint Dumas makes an appearance. We actually get the reveal of Saint Dumas.
Oh, I'm excited.
Saint Dumas has a very strange and interesting role, and Jason Todd comes in as bait, but then eventually Tim Drake and Jason Todd win the day, obviously. But there's some great dialogue about the various Robins. Like, there's a part where Saint Dumas says of Tim Drake that he's the only true Robin. Unlike Jason Todd, who was the imposter, and Dick Grayson, who was the shadow, who is now hidden by Spiral.
That is 1,000,000% true.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
What I really like about what kind of dawned on me about Batman and Robin Eternal with this issue is that it reads like, you remember back in the 90s when DC would do these huge crossovers that would span, you know, the four books that would be coming out, the four Batman books that would be coming out in a month. So basically, it was a multi-part event that was coming out weekly, but under different titles and written by different writers and with different artists.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Batman and Robin Eternal feels like.
It really does. It really does. Because it's got a big enough cast where they can put the spotlight on a couple of different characters in every issue. Like, it can be about Tim and Jason fighting Azrael in Santa Prisca. It can be about Cassandra Cain and her story. It can be about the flashback stuff with Dick and Batman. Like, and each of those kind of has its own flavor. Each of the writers is really kind of bringing their own style to the table with it too. Like, you can tell when it's a Tim Seeley issue, you know? Yeah.
But I kind of like, it's a throwback in that way, but I kind of like it. I like once that clicked in my head, I totally get the structure of this comic. I don't know if it's intentional at all, but that is 100% what it feels like. And I'm immediately sent back to some of my earliest comics memories when occasionally I would just dip in to a Batman issue in the middle of some 40-part event that was running through all the titles.
Which, it's weird that that's a thing that we are now nostalgic for.
Yeah.
But I think Gotham, or Batman and Robin Eternal, is doing a good job of mixing that kind of nostalgia with like, actually being good.
Yeah.
It's the 25th anniversary G.I. Joes of comics.
Yeah.
In that it's the way you thought they looked when you were a kid.
Exactly. It's 2016 storytelling in that 1993 model. The last comic that we're going to be talking about this week is Gotham Academy number 14, which is advertised on the cover as the yearbook.
Right. This is the start of a four-part story called Gotham Academy Yearbook. And it's the kind of thing that feels like and maybe should have been Gotham Academy Annual or Gotham Academy Special. Because what it is maps can't be on the yearbook club. So in order to make her feel better, Olive buys her a scrapbook. And she's like, oh, well, instead of being on the yearbook club, you can fill this up with all the stories we can't tell about stuff that we've done at Gotham Academy. And so then it goes into stories by different creators. And it's a little, like, a framing sequence and three little vignettes. And so there's, like, a Katie Cook story in here. There's a story by Hope Larson in here. Dustin Nguyen draws one of these stories. And it's, like, really, it's weird because that's not the normal kind of thing that you would get in, like, maybe you would get that for one issue of the ongoing, not a four-part story. But it's also something that I'm super excited about reading as a four-part story. Gotham Academy has been this perfect soap opera, right? This perfect House of Anubis, Degrassi meets Batman-style soap opera with supervillains and Olive wondering about her mother and things being, like, super serious. And so getting something like this that's going to kind of ease it into 2016 by doing a little bit of an anthology thing that maybe some of it's going to come back later in the run and maybe some of it's not. And maybe you're going to get to see some people who you wouldn't normally see on Gotham Academy doing, you know, six pages in an issue. That makes it really appealing to me. And it's something that feels like a celebration of Gotham Academy. And as someone who was convinced that Gotham Academy was too good for this world and that it was like, it was on the block from day one, it does my heart good to see this book succeeding and moving into a celebration of what it is, in a way that you don't normally see. Like, I don't feel like you would see four issues of Detective Comics like this, which is a book that could easily do it, you know? Detective Comics ain't going to lose any readers if they do a four-issue anthology story. But Gotham Academy is... You know, somebody said, hey, let's celebrate Gotham Academy and bring people in who are obviously fans and people who are familiar with how the story works and how these characters work and want to do something kind of cool in this world. And they did it, and they're going to do it for the next three issues. Plus, it's like the perfect like school drama clip show. Like, oh, it's the yearbook. Like, I'm convinced there's a Saved by the Bell like this. It's really fun, and I'm so happy it exists.
That's it for our comic segment. Chris, it's time to bring an us to a you fight and talk to Kyle Starks.
It's more like it's time to bring an us to a Kyle Starks interview, but yeah, sure, let's do it. Excited to have this person on. He's a good friend of mine. You will know him as the creator of The Legend of Ricky Thunder, one of my all-time favorite webcomics, as well as Sex Castle, the graphic novel out from Image that was just picked up for a movie option from Fox. That's right, Fox in the house. Kyle Starks is here. Kyle, welcome to the show again, buddy.
I'm back. I've been gone for so long. I've been crawling through the hills of Hollywood. hunting agents with my bare hands.
I just imagine you eating from a can of beans on top of the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, like right above the Los Angeles River. That's where I was.
Yeah.
LA River, looking for agents.
So Kyle, let's kick this thing off with the big question. When are they going to announce the shared Sex Castle Fantastic Four X-Men universe?
They're not going to, Matt, and I'll tell you why. They're like, we're just doing the Kyle Starks cinematic universe now.
Oh.
The big question is, when is all my other stuff going to be made into movies? The answer is never, but they said they might, so.
When is Never So Special going to get picked up for a full-length three-hour epic?
When is that one Suicide comic I did going to be a TV special, an after-school TV special on ABC? Not soon enough.
No, but for real, though, like, the team of Sex Castle, Punch Captain, Stabby Ricky Ghost, Ricky Thunder.
Sure.
You know, what is the team of all the Kyle Starks characters? What are they called? If there was a team movie of all those characters.
They're just called My Dudes.
That would be a great title for a movie, actually. My Dudes.
Yeah. My Dudes rated R. That's it.
Kyle, when is your birthday?
February 26th. I'll be 39 this year.
February 26th. Do you already have, or is this what I'm going to get you for your birthday? Do you already have a black weight belt that says Hollywood on it?
I don't. They said I had to actually defeat Hogan in a non-finger point of doom match. And I was like, man, I don't waste my time with terrible racist celebrities. I said that to my agent, too, when they announced that movie. I didn't say that. I don't think I have that much pull. I get whatever I get. I don't throw a fit.
No, but like, okay, for real. We've been joking around a lot. I'm going to get high up on the mic here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, get in here. Get close.
I want to turn my cap around and sit down backwards in this chair and get real with everybody for a second.
Mm-hmm. Sit down, Wrecker.
Cal, you and I are friends. We're pals, buddy. We talk.
Absolutely.
We talk on the reg.
Sure.
Last week, I was like, hey, Kyle, when Ajax comes back, your schedule has freed up a little bit. Finally, we're going to be able to get you back on and talk about stuff. I want you to be the first guest on Warwick and Ajax in 2016. And you said, I don't know, man. I don't know if I've got anything I can talk about.
Yeah, it's weird, right? How, like, just a few days, things can change.
Yeah. Then yesterday, and we were recording this on Thursday, yesterday, all of a sudden, it's like Deadline and GQ.
Yeah, like
and
all the AV Club. Care. Yeah. Ooh, Kyle Starks, you're so special. Where were they last week, Chris Ems?
I mean, I was there last week.
Yeah, you were there. You're cool, man. Yeah, but anyway, so here's the thing. I have been basically dealing with this for 10 months now. We signed the option, I think, back in September with the boys from Workaholics. And I said, hey, we should put out some sort of press release. And everyone's like, nope. No big deal, because options happen all the time, which is the truth. Everyone's got an option. It's no big deal. But then, like, 2 months ago, I got a call from my agent. The Russo brothers are involved. And I'm like, that sounds good. And he's like, it is good. Why are you so dumb? And I'm like, I don't know. It's Hollywood. And then this Fox thing, which was kind of like, the Fox thing is the part that makes it more real than a normal option, because when the Russos came in with the intention to produce, it's like, oh, well, now we have some money. We have a director. We have a star. Fox coming in sort of like is like the guillotine of, that doesn't seem right. That seems like the opposite of what I'd want. It's the assured, like, it seems, I feel like I'm as close to a real thing happening as one could get, but it's still like, there's still like window for nothing to happen. It's Hollywood. But I've been dealing with it a long time. That's the story. So it's like, yeah, it finally announced yesterday. Well, cool. Like, four things have happened in the last year. So I've been sitting on it for like ever.
I feel like the fact that this is public now, that it's been on Deadline, and but not just in like the trades. It's been in, you know, GQ with headlines about how we're finally going to get a movie called Sex Castle. I feel like that might be the breaking point. That might be the indicator that you've made it. Because now, like, the people, the money people, like, they're like, oh, people have heard of this now. Fuck, we got to make it.
You know, the thing with GQ is that they actually put Sex Castle on their top 10 best comics of 2015. Like, GQ is already there, man. GQ is on the Kyle Starks bus. Which, why wouldn't they be? Because who's more gentlemanly than me? I'm like gentlemanly all year round, not just quarterly.
Who's more quarterly than Kyle Starks?
Yeah, I'm gentleman annually. That's what I am.
But Newton. Kyle, when are you going to become an Esquire? That's what I want to know.
You know, you do one thing at a time.
That's true.
My dog just got so close to me when I started talking about being a gentleman all year. She's like, heck yeah, you are, boss. Yeah, you got to build that empire one step at a time. And I'm doing like a Mental Floss, which is like the dopest magazine. They talk about Sex Castle sometimes because they're the best. I got USA Today on the reg because they're the best. Now I'm adding Gentleman's Quarterly and like The Onion, the AV Club guys, right? And next it's just like all titty mags constantly. Just like a never-ending stream. And then it's like time. I'm done. That's the plan. That's the strategy.
I noticed there's someone you left off of that list.
Who's been nice to me?
Yeah. I noticed you left off some two cool dudes who have ranked you pretty highly on their interactive listener poll lists.
Listen, my digital blood debt bros. I'm talking purely print. No one has treated Kyle Starks as well as Warwick at Ajax. That's a fact.
There are so many potential episode. If we hadn't come out of the gate with my dudes rated R, because that's going to be it.
That's it. I also wrote that down, Matt. I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Titty Mags to Time would have been like, that might be a future show title.
I might save that for my gravestone.
That's like 2015 started from the bottom. Now we hear.
You mean 2016. The year is 2016, yeah. Chris.
Yeah, you know what? Look, it's still January. We're not even halfway through the month yet. I'm trying, Matt. I'm trying.
I'm breaking the thing open for 2016. That's why Chris can't get it yet. Because you guys are starting with me.
Like,
I'm opening the door.
And now it's not truly the new year until Kyle Starks has been on Ajax.
And after tonight, when you're writing your check for your groceries, you'll be like, 2016, I nailed it. Every time.
Yep.
I go and write my check at the grocery store.
Uh-huh. Kyle, how did you know that what I do after every Ajax episode is go buy groceries?
Oh, I'm just saying the next time you'll be like, I have to sign this. Whenever I have to sign a legal document, you're like, Matt D. Wilson, January 20th, 2015. Nope. The new year. But from here on out, 2016 every time. You will without fail. I'm open. Because I'm here. Now you'll know.
So here is my question. Like, we're talking about the option now because it's new. It's hot. It's a topic that's out there. But it's also a thing that I feel like a lot of people, and I'm not even talking about like fans. Like, I have no idea what happens when you have a project that gets optioned. Like, and I think there's this perception that like you are Skyping in from like the money bin from like 3 cubic acres of gold coins.
Yeah.
And that you're furiously working on the scripts and like taking casting meetings in the morning.
Yeah, let me tell you what, none of that happened. And I mean, like, if they make a movie, I will get an okay check. Like, my agent, he's like, how much would I get paid if they made the movie? And he's like, you would not be rich. And I'm like, I would not be rich. It would not be amazing. It would be a pretty good. If they make the movie, and if, like, Fox raises the amount potential that I would make. But yeah, I don't have any money. Like, I'm unemployed, and I'm like, all because they announced it, unless I start selling a bunch of books, which I haven't to this point. So, like, everyone who says nice things about Sex Castle, just make a list. If it's more than, like, 3,000 people, some of them lying, because they did not read that book. I know that for a fact. I know, like, how many have been sold, and I probably know who to. I'm not getting rich. I hear from my agent, who I love. My agent actually came to Heroes last year to hang out and buy me a bunch of drinks, which is great. And I like him a lot. He's one of my favorite people in the world. I've been really lucky to have like a super cool dude to have a relationship, because most people don't get lucky. My whole career has been lucky. I've only been lucky. So many people have to work real hard, and I keep like falling into like the dumbest, luckiest situations. And thank goodness for that. But yeah, I've not got any money. I don't talk to anyone. I've had one phone call with the people who bought my option, which is the Workaholic guys. It was very brief. They asked what my level of involvement was optimally, and I said whatever makes the most money. And they said cool beans, not literally cool beans, but that was the gist. It was a cool beans gist.
Another one to write down, man.
It was cool beans and Jace.
So here we are. And like, now it's cool. Like, it's all been super cool. These things take a really long time. I've been really lucky, because I think even with these things taking a long time, mine's gone pretty fast. Like, I've been super lucky. I'm super excited. I really, like, will something definitely happen? There's no way of knowing. But I feel like I'm a lot closer than probably 90% of the people in our industry, in the comics industry, have been with options. And I'm hoping it goes 100%, because if they make a Sex Castle movie, that's ridiculous. Think about the Hot Topic. Just think about the Hot Topic shirts, man. Little Funko Pop Sex Castles.
God, I want a little Funko Pop Sex Castle now.
I know, it'd be great. You're gonna walk by Hot Topic on your way to Chick-fil-A at the mall, and you're gonna look in, and there's gonna be like, you know, all the black shirts, and one of them's just gonna say, "You brought a meat to a U fight. You wrote a you two and me fight. I don't even know my own line." And you're gonna be like, "I wrote that
book. I could have done that line.
I wrote it a while ago."
Now, so, but here's my question: like, are you like you talk about how they asked you how involved you'd like to be? Like, are you Is it completely out of your hands now? Like, are you just going to, like, you know, sit back and just, like, wait for news like the like everybody else? Or is it, like, are you going to do, like, a cameo where you're, like, selling hot dogs on the beach to Shane Sexcastle?
We have let them know that I am available in whatever fashion they might need me. But I really seriously believe, like, the comic book was my baby, the graphic novel was my baby. And I made that, and it's exactly what I wanted to the abilities that I have. And if they want to do something with my baby, then it's their baby. And they're going to give me a lot of money to do it, hopefully. Hopefully.
I think at the very least, you should be a guy that Shane Sexcastle kills. Like, you should at least be a dead body on screen at some point. Like, look, I can't do any negotiations for you. I can't do any of that stuff. But I think, simply as a courtesy, you should get that much.
We'll see. We'll see.
If you could be one person that Shane Sexcastle kills, if you could be one member of the Assassin's Guild, which is your favorite? Which would you want to be? Is it Sydney Phoenix?
Is it? Sydney Phoenix is pretty high up there. I don't know. I mean, I would be one of the generic, like, Cobra Kai skull dudes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd be like the spear guy.
That's pretty good.
I'd be okay with that. I'll be interested to see how they handle the League of the bad guys there.
Because I don't think I'm blowing anybody's mind here, but if you haven't read Sexcastle, and honest to God, if you are listening to this and you haven't read Sexcastle, what are you doing? What, like, we have talked about it so much. There's a scene where the top nine show up, and the top nine are they're just 80s action movie heroes. You've got Dutch Matrix, who is very familiar looking. Spartan Cobretti.
That's a good one.
I couldn't even make it through Spartan Cobretti.
That's a good name.
You've got Nico Ryback, of course.
Uh-huh.
So I would, like, if they stick with that, that is going to be an interesting scene to see them pull off.
Yeah. I
feel like the odds of it being what we want are slim.
Yeah, like
Charles Bronson dead.
Yeah, I think so. I think more than one of those might be dead are not viable options anymore.
I saw somebody. Let me run this idea by you, Kyle. I'm running this idea by you by proxy. I saw somebody on Twitter, sort of doing some fan casting already
for Sexcastle.
Yes.
Okay.
And their idea was that the various assassins, the top nine, would be played by not necessarily the people that they look like in the comic, but by sort of your various direct-to-DVD VHS home video action stars of various periods. I remember Mark Dacascos being named, who you may remember as the Iron Chef America chairman, but who was also famously in Double Dragon, the Double Dragon movie, but a bunch of other movies. And you could get, like, the Boz.
He's only working Sundays now, so he's available.
What's the Taibo guy's name?
Billy Blanks.
Yeah. Like, '90 video, direct-to-video action stars would be great for that, I think. And that's what that person suggested.
Once I heard who was buying the option, I feel like what they should do, and I, again, don't have any control over it, I know that there was discussions initially about maybe doing some sort of elaborate makeup to sort of recreate, like, a Dick Tracy thing. Like, you need a better draw guy than this guy if you're going to be, like, putting money into special effects like that. But what I think they should do, and I have no control, is that they should get, like, their comedian buddies. And I think it'd be hilarious. Just get an all-star group of their comedian buddies in there. I think it'd be great.
Just seeing Nick Kroll as anyone in Sex Castle.
Yeah, or, great. Who's the guy who's in Broad City?
Hannibal Buress?
Yeah, like Hannibal Buress. Like, have Hannibal Buress be Sydney Phoenix. It'd be great. It'd be so great. Have Louis C.K. be, like, Spartan Cobretti. Like, I think that, like, whatever they do, I think it's going to be really... Is that, like, the thing is, when I, you know, when I made that scene, it's like, it was a sequence. Those characters were something that I was going to edit it out. And when I reached that point, I just thought, 10-year-old Kyle, like, this is what 10-year-old Kyle would want so badly, is to have all of his favorite action movie stars in one action movie. This, of course, being, you know, when I was 10 years old, it was 87. It was 20 years before Expendables happened. And, like, I'm gonna make past Kyle as happy as possible with this comic. So I did it. But, like, now they're going to do something with it. I don't know. They're not going to get Stallone and Schwarzenegger. I mean, it just seems, well, I don't know. The Russos are involved, right? Like, who knows? I don't know. It'll be great. I just want it to be made. They could do it with, like puppets. Like, they could do, what's the shadow puppets? They could do it all shadow puppet style, and I'd be okay with it.
Is that what motivates you, Kyle? Just the thought of what would make 10-year-old you happy?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, honestly, yeah. Everything that I've made to this point, and hopefully for a long time, are all things that I wanted to, like, I would want to read, that I would enjoy. The demon thing in Marvel, like, that's so awesome to me. Like, that they let me do D-Man. Because I love D-Man. I'm, like, one of, like, 17 people who, like, is way into D-Man. And I got to write the only D-Man story in the history of Marvel Comics. That's dope.
I wrote a love letter to D-Man. I feel like I know everyone who likes D-Man.
Well, Dylan Todd may be the president of that fan club.
Yeah. Dylan Todd, that was, I think, was one of our initial bonding situations was, you like D-Man too? Yep. And Dylan gets D-Man. Like, that's the thing. I think the people who really, really like D-Man get that it's not so much a joke character. It's sort of just like a dude who's trying real hard. He's real sweet and maybe a little bit over his head. Love D-Man. So, yeah, that's great. I'd like my two Marvel credits to date are I drew Galactus from Marvel Comics and I wrote the only D-Man story. That's dope.
I feel like a lot of the stuff you do, and this goes to Sex Castle, this goes to Ricky Thunder, this goes to the Wild Dog fan comics that you did, which nobody else is doing anything with Wild Dog right now, and I don't know why. I don't know why they didn't just cut you a check and put him in a comic. Honestly.
I know. I don't know.
All of that, it has that same feeling that something like Dr. McNinja has, where it's like you get to a point where you realize that, like, all that dumb stuff that you loved when you were a kid, like, it's still good. Like, it's still fun. Like, there's a reason you loved it. And when you come back around to that stuff, I feel like you can make it into something that's amazing. Like, and Sex Castle does that. Like, there's nunchucks that are also guns.
Spoiler.
Sorry. Look, again, everybody who listens to this should have read this by now.
Yeah, it's been out for like 7 years or something.
I mean, look, I'm a 2014 Sex Castle reader.
Hey,
I know.
Hey, yeah. So am I. Don't leave me out of that equation.
You see, here's the thing, is I plan to make every year from here on out Sex Castle year. Because next year the movie will come out, and you people will be like, finally, we've reached the apex of Sex Castling. There can be no more Sex Castling. Nope, then the sequel comes out. Yep.
Is there going to be a sequel?
I feel like I'm not, and the reason I'm not going to, because I've told my Sex Castle, like I said, I made my baby. Like, it has a beginning, a middle, and end. That being said, it is like an 80s movie. It's a love letter to 80s action movies. So I feel like I could do a sequel, but it would be, like, intentionally garbage. Just, like, garbage. Like, I would even have to, like, write, like, the dialogue shittier. just like Toso, it like was a true representation of like an 80s sequel, and he'd have to like, I don't know, he'd fight an alien. I don't know. It'd be dumb. That's the thing in my head. It's like the only way to do it would be to do it terribly, and that seems like a really short-sighted joke. You know what I mean? Like,
well, if you were gonna follow the 80s action movie template, then it should just be the same plot from the first movie, but in a different location and with more characters.
Yeah, I'd put it on a boat.
Exactly.
And he'd make, maybe his twin would show up.
Or do a Die Hard 2 and put it in an airport.
Yeah, what's the opposite of a small town? It'd be in a big town, just like Crocodile Dundee. God damn it, now the ideas are flowing. Just like Crocodile Dundee 2.
Sex Castle's back, and he's in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It hurts. That's something I consider Die Hard. But, you know, like I have like a bunch of other things. I have a bunch of other Kyle stories I want to tell. So it's on the back burner. I'd love to do Ricky Thunder again. Like, I'd love to do, like, Ricky Thunder Goes to Mexico. Like, because I think that'd be awesome. But it's like, that has to wait. I've already told the best stories I can tell these guys. The next story I tell won't be as good.
I don't want to put any pressure on you. I'm just going to throw this out there. And if you use it, you use it. If you don't, you don't. Sex Castle Ski School.
Yeah, that'd be the other, like, that's the other thing. He goes to ski school. He's up on the mountain. It's fun. He's shooting people for the skis. Oh. He's fighting another polar bear, or he's friends with the same polar bear. Who knows?
Alternately, it could be Shane Sexcastle's Bikini Car Wash, but that's all the ones I'm giving you for free. That's all the ones I'm throwing out there.
You know what? Like the Crocodile Dundee 2 thing just slipped in, and it's really making me feel weird about it. It's really there's a real draw with the Crocodile Dundee 2 thing.
So there's one thing I want to talk to you about. Now, Kyle, we've talked about the World Heavyweight Champions list. This was our list that we did all throughout 2015 of the 100 best dialogue quotes in comics.
Right.
Sex Castle came in at number 5.
Number 5?
And I have said, yes, you are just below a line from The Dark Knight Returns. You are just above a line from Preacher that Matt and I couldn't fucking shut up about.
Oh, which line from Preacher?
Miss. We were talking about Miss from the very first World Heavyweight Champions, and it was mentioned at least like every 4 or so after that. Like, we could not stop talking about Miss until somebody finally submitted it.
Yeah, good. That's a good one.
Yeah, so, and I said, if we were honest with each other, this list would just be, like Akewood and Sex Castle all the way down. And maybe one line from Ricky Thunder.
Yeah, Akewood has a lot of good stuff.
So, I have to ask you, like, does the dialogue in this stuff, does it just come naturally to you? Like, does stuff like the wiener dog is in the damn snake hole, does that just, like, flow from you?
You know, I think when I was back on many years ago for Ricky Thunder, you asked me the same question, and you definitely did not like my answer. And that is, like, I don't put that much effort into it. I just like, write it, and then I go, now what would that guy say that would be funny? And he says, I'm going to turn you into a blood humidifier, and it makes me laugh so hard. And that goes in. That's it.
I just like when you wrote you brought a you to a me fight, like, did you sit back for a minute and go like, yes, this is it, this, put this on a t-shirt?
You know what, at the time I just thought that's funny, and I but you know, like when I went to make my Kickstarter video, I thought I needed to draw attention to it because I thought it was because of just like the page layout and the situation, like it kind of passes by quickly. I did think very seriously when I was doing my Kickstarter video is that I need to shine because I did a little comic panel to panel, like animated, like movie trailer. And I was like, so I put different little scenes in. Like, I want to draw attention to this line. Because I'm not for sure someone just was flipping through the book if they would catch it. Like, that's a pretty good line. So I did draw attention to it for the Kickstarter. But at the time, I thought, there's another one-liner. I did it. Here's another one.
All right, let me ask you a different version of Chris's question.
Oh, I didn't answer it right, huh?
No, it's not that. It's just...
Sorry, you didn't get that. Let's try again.
I think this might get more to what Chris was asking. It's a different question, but sort of in the same realm. Do you ever find yourself, like, agonizing over a line? Or, like, you put in a placeholder line and you say, I don't really like that, but I'll come back to it, and then you edit it? Or is everything a first draft? Like, is everything the line you immediately thought of?
I would say honestly, for Sex Castle, probably 90% of it was a first draft.
You're a monster.
but like, that being said, like, there's a lot of stuff that was replaced, but it would be like exposition. But generally, like, I don't know, whatever, man. Like, hey, can you come up with some dumb 80s tough guy stuff? I'd be like, yes. You can rely on me, Mr. President. here's the thing. If someone was like, hey, we want you to write the smart guy comic book, I'd be like, this dialogue's effing hard. It's like, hey, to date, it's been, hey, here's some jokes and there'll probably be some punching. Can you sort that out? And I'd be like, yeah, man, that's my milieu. That's my MO. I can't do it. My smart guys don't talk like smart guys. I can make tough guy one-liners. Oh, pretty okay.
So, like, is there a part of you that's like, you know, it, like, after you do, your next book is Kill 'Em All, right?
I'm working on, yeah, that's my working title. I mean, it's probably going to be the title, but yeah. Which is a reverse Die Hard buddy action movie, comic book.
Wait, what is a reverse Die Hard? Is it a reverse Die Hard where they're outside a building?
They're working, they're working their way up the building to get the bad guy. They're going bottom up. Instead of being trapped in and trying to get out, they're fighting their way in to get him.
Would you say that this book is going to have 40 stories of sheer adventure?
You know what? Here's the thing. I think the building actually is. Maybe. No, it's not. As I say, it might be 40 stories tall. Originally, my plan was that I would have like a boss fight on every floor. So it would be like 20 floors of just like boss fights. But as it so happens, that's a lot of work. So I had to change it. And now it's like they take the elevator to the 10th floor, which I think is hilarious. They can take the elevator to only the 10th floor. So it's 5 floors of boss fights. And it's so funny to me.
So is there, like, do you have a desire where it's like, yeah, after that, I'm going to do my smart guy comic. I'm going to do, like what is a smart guy comic? I guess, like, yeah. Watchmen? Watchmen's a smart guy comic.
No, just a comic that has a smart person in it. Like, I haven't done it. Like, just a character that walks in, like... Of all the comics I've done, the smartest – I mean, like, I had, like, Ben Franklin in Ricky Thunder, and I don't think he was that smart. Like, he just wanted, I think, just to get shit on, you know?
So you're not talking about – like, a contemplative comic about the nature of life, the nature of man.
I'm not talking about that one, which is just, like, an actual metaphor for, like, the Cold War. God, it seems like it's two kids in love, but really it's a metaphor for the Cold War. No, not that comic.
You're talking about a comic with Reed Richards in it.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, I'd be hard-pressed. But you know, like, here's the thing. Like, Reed Richards, I know about being a dad. I could handle that. I don't want to give away my shticks, but I always thought, like, if I was like, oh, man, if Marvel, like, you know, when I was dream booking, you know what I'm talking about, Sims, dream booking that life. I was like, man, what if Marvel loves this 5-page D-Man story so much? They're like, dude, we want you to write D-Man. Because why would a D-Man comic book ever sell to more than 17 people? It seems like a bad idea, but let's just say they did. And I was going to have, like, whenever, like, Hank Pym or Reed Richards or, like, Tony Starks were explaining something to D-Man, it would just be, like, blah, blah, blahs. Like, D-Man doesn't know what you're talking about. It's all a bunch of blah, blah, blahs. And I think that'd be funny.
All right, we've got a lot of Twitter questions to get to. So,
really?
Chris, let's kick it over.
Let's do it. Matt, these are people who want to get in on the conversations that we have each and every week here on War Rocket Ajax with our guests like Kyle Starks. And if people out there do want to do this, how can they go about that?
Well, Chris, what you need to do is just sit down in front of a computer and start writing whatever pops into your head immediately without really thinking about it and not having to go back and revise it. Tweet it to me the Matt D. Wilson, or Chris, the ISB, on Twitter Thursday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 6:30 Pacific. And apparently whatever you write just off the top of your head is going to be good enough for Hollywood to come knocking and option whatever you wrote. The first question that we have...
You know, another way, if you want to get a hold of me, is you just put a VHS in a VCR player and just mess with the tracking. And then, like, you whisper backwards what you want. And I'll be like, what? Yes? And I can't respond to you because it's, like, VHS magic. But you can send a message to me.
Does that have to be a movie or could it be a copy of the game Atmosphere?
It could be anything. Anything you can stick in a VHS player.
I got to check for that. Beta. I got to check for that game next time I'm at my mom's house. The first question we have is from A Walrus Darkly on Twitter. They say, please tell the story of the moment you realized gunchucks was the answer, Kyle Starks.
You know what the moment was? Here's how gunchucks came about. This is going to make you real mad, Chris. I thought, he needs like a funny weapon that nobody has, like a sword gun. Or like a gun that she, hold on, or like nunchucks that are guns. That has to be a thing, and I Googled it, and it wasn't. So then it was mine. That's the story.
Monster, like an absolute monster.
Hey, but you know the good news is like I'll be out of everything in like 5 years. I'll just be like a dried up husk of creativity. There'll be nothing left.
The next question comes from Ken Lowry, who I'm just going to answer myself. Kyle, who among your local loyal Kickstarter backers is most unjustly kept off the air at War Rocket Ajax? Ken, you are on the show. The next question.
Get over it, Ken. Jesus. Like, you give a guy, you know, finally throw a dude a bone out of, you know, fortune and serendipity, and he's going to be tweeting at you every. Calm down, stalker.
The next question is from Ramon Villalobos on Twitter. He says, ask Kyle.
The very talented.
Yes. He says, ask Kyle what it was like working with award winner Twitter personality, Ramon Villalobos, please.
I'm going to tell you, Ramon's a real delightful little baby, and his draw is real good. And you know what else? I don't want to throw him under the bus, but working with him was amazing. But Tamara Bonvillain, I think, was like the magic superstar who came in and put a bow on the whole thing. She's amazing color. She's really good. Fact. Color facts.
Color facts. The next question is from Embria on Twitter. She says, Kyle, have you seen the new Point Break, the remake? And if so, what did you think?
I'm going to tell you, if someone – no, I have not. And if someone was like, hey, I have this new candy. It's called Point Break Remake. And they brought it up to me and they're like, would you like some of my candy? It's called Point Break Remake. I'd slap it out of their hand and then kick it into the gutter.
Fair enough. The next question comes from Dan_Spaceman on Twitter. What would you rather bring to a gunfight? A gun, a knife, or a gun that shoots knives?
I would rather bring friendship and goodwill, and I'd talk that gunfight into nothingness with hugs.
The man is different from his art, everybody.
Softer. I have children now. Once upon a time, the answer was, duh, bazooka.
Sure.
Yeah.
The go-to fourth option in rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, the bazooka. It was dynamite, right?
Dynamite was also a good fourth option.
That was the one we did.
The next question comes from Jordan Witt, friend of the show.
You know, that's someone who knows about kicking. Continue.
She sure does. But her question is not about kicking. It's, what's with all the ducks?
Yeah, I can't answer that. I don't know. I was the duck spirit fell upon me. And I don't know, man. Like I was like, draw something that's fun to draw, ducks. And so I drew a bunch of ducks.
Let's explain it for our listeners who don't know.
Okay, so from I have a Patreon, which is Kyle Starks Patreon. It's probably not right. Patreon. You go to Patreon.
Yeah, I don't think kylestarks.patreon is the correct address.
You know what, though? Think about how much easier it would be if it was. I did my Patreon, and if I got whatever my first tier was, which wasn't very much, like $200 or something, I was like, hey, I'll draw all you dudes ducks. And we got there, and I drew all those dudes ducks. And I'll tell you right now, if you ever want someone to draw you a duck, I'm your guy.
I have a Kyle Stark's duck sitting on my desk right now. It is under a Kyle Stark Shinsuke Nakamura.
Ooh, that guy's good. I like drawing that guy, too.
The next question we have comes from our pal, Franz Ferdinand 2, on Twitter.
Oh, Ben?
Yes, Ben Gully. He asks, what basketball player, past or present, would make the best comic book character?
You know what? I immediately think of Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins, but I'm blanking on this dude's name. There was a guy who played in the ABA. He refused to fly west because he felt like he was time traveling because of the time zones, and he was all around sort of generally considered to be like really bonkers, but he was also a really good basketball player. And I can't think of his name. That's a good one. I'm going to leave out someone who I know is just like perfect for an action movie. He said, right? I'm going to go with Daryl Dawkins. I'm going to go with Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins, because he named all of his dunks with elaborate names and often pretended like he was from outer space and wore boas, and that's dope.
I'm assuming that this question is coming from the place of accepting basketball players who have already been comic book characters, which would eliminate the two best options of Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, like, I think there's more, like, Shaquille O'Neal, I think there's more interesting characters than that in history.
You and I have to respectfully disagree on that, my friend.
Here's the thing, like, I mean, Shaquille's a tough one, but, you know, Charles, let's not have this conversation. Like, when you guys do basketball war rock, then I'll be all over that one, all right? Bring me back for the finals or something.
All right.
We'll talk basketball.
When we do our all basketball episode.
I have a basketball comic that I'm hoping to do in the next 2 years, too. It's about an ex-pro basketball player and vampires, and it's called Old Head.
I'm into it already.
I'm really excited about it. Continue with the questions.
All right. I think this is possibly going to wrap us up. This one comes from Ian Sayer on Twitter. What other weaponry could be made more awesome by being combined with nunchucks?
If you did nunchuck sandwiches, that would be better. If you did nunchucks and sodas, that'd be better.
So you're taking like it beyond weaponry. You're just making it anything. What would be better by making it nunchucks?
I'm trying to think, like, if you put a string between any two things, how is that not better? Think about if me and Tim put a string between us. Our friendship would only grow from that.
That is it for our Twitter questions. Kyle Starks, before we let you go, please take this opportunity to let all our listeners know the various places that they can find you online.
All right, so many places. At Twitter, I am at the Kyle Starks. I'm at the Kyle Starks, not a Kyle Starks, or some Kyle Starks, the Kyle Starks. I have a website that's Kyle Starks. I have a Patreon, which apparently I don't know the website address to. So if you go to Patreon and go to the little search thing for Kyle Starks and give me money, that'd be dope. And other stuff, I got a Tumblr, robotmountain.tumblr.com, kylestarks.com. Other stuff, I like to hang around Chipotle in town. That's not the same thing, right?
I think Matt and I will probably be talking about it later on.
Yeah,
but if you want to see all three of us.
Yeah, come by the Chipotle.
And
yeah, go to the Chipotle.
Come to the Chipotle in Evansville, Indiana, if you want to see all three of us. You guys are coming up, right?
We are all three going to be at the Sumter Comic Symposium in April, I think. I think early April?
March.
March? Is it March? Yeah. It's March. Early it's one March. Of those dates. We'll talk about it as we get close to it. But Kyle's going to be there. Matt, you're going to come back. I'll be there.
Kyle and I are doing a panel together about Kickstarter. So yep. Keep an eye out for that.
I believe I also might be doing a thing of, after a screening of Die Hard at the university too.
Which would be pretty cool.
If you want to see me talk like gush about Die Hard.
So yeah, definitely check that out. Kyle, thank you so much for coming on the show. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, and you're a monster, and I hate you, and I'm so happy with the success you have gotten, because no one deserves it like you do.
And I'll be back next week on the show, right?
Yeah, you'll be back next week, and we'll talk about what's coming up on NXT.
And we'll do our all-basketball show very soon.
So that's my next 3 weeks?
Yeah, that's it. We got it.
All right, well, I'm writing it down. So it's done. It's done now. I'll have my lawyers call your lawyers. What? You don't have lawyers? Get out of here, small time.
Thanks once again to Kyle Starks. And hey, if you are in the area, Matt and I will be talking more about that show that we're going to do in the weeks to come before we actually do it. And now is the time where we have our post-interview segment, usually a little game that we like to play with you guys, right? In 2014, it was the Every Story Ever list, which is actually still ongoing because you liked it so much that you gave us the Patreon goal to continue doing it, and we did. In 2015, we had the World Heavyweight Champions. But now, clean slate. Throw all that stuff in the trash. But not Every Story Ever, because we're going to keep doing that every month for the foreseeable. But it's time for something new, Matt. It's time for something new.
That's right. And it's something that has been suggested to us by multiple people. It's something we've discussed among ourselves as the next logical step. We're going to be ranking characters in 2016.
That's right. Tentatively, we are calling this Every Character Ever.
I have some ideas about the title. Okay.
Okay. Hit me with your ideas.
2016 is an election year, right?
Okay. Yes, it is.
We are going to be in the process of electing the greatest comic book character of all time. That is why I would suggest one of two titles for this segment.
Okay.
The first one I thought of was Character Campaign.
Okay.
But then I thought of one that I like even more. And that's Panel President.
Panel President.
Now
I'm writing it down.
Now, that's not the hard and fast title of the segment. It could change. We would like to get suggestions from listeners for what this segment could be. I would like it to have a political theme, but if somebody sends us one that is just undeniably great, that is not politically themed, we could use it. If you like Panel President, let us know that. So tentatively, this segment is called Panel President. And Chris, as we have done, as we did with the Every Story Ever list, I think we should start off this segment by choosing a working number one and a working absolute bottom of the list.
That sounds good. Now, we are talking about characters. We're not talking about individual stories for these characters. So there's a couple of different things that we need to consider. We need to consider the overall presence of a character. So obviously the characters that have been around a while, that have been in the most stories, they're going to have a pretty good shot, because we're going to be able to pick and choose their finest moments, as opposed to just going with what might be their finest and might be their worst. We're going to be talking about character potential. Like, could this character be even greater in the future? We're going to have to talk about influence. We're going to have to talk about different forms a character has been through. Like, if we talk about Barbara Gordon, for instance, we're going to have to talk about Batgirl. We're going to have to talk about Oracle. We're going to have to talk about becoming Batgirl again. We're going to have to talk about Batgirl of Burnside. There's a lot of things to consider apart from individual stories in this, which I think is going to make this kind of interesting.
Yes, I also think that we need to lay down this rule from the get-go. We are talking about characters, not titles. We're not talking about Spider-Man in general. Okay? Peter Parker and Miles Morales are obviously individual characters that we would rank separately.
Right, so we would not rank the concept of Robin. We would be ranking Tim Drake, Dick Grayson, Damian Wayne, Stephanie Brown, Carrie Kelly, etc.
Right. Spider-Woman, there are multiple characters that we could consider to be Spider-Woman. So when you send in our lists, or when you send in your lists for people for us to consider for panel president, be sure that you note the specific character that you want us to rank. Don't just say Spider-Woman, Robin, Spider-Man.
Yeah, because if you say Robin, I'm going to rank Tim Drake.
Exactly.
Just heads up. Just quick heads up on that one. So now, famously, I have a top five.
Yes.
But because this is a collaboration with you, Matt, my top five might not be the official objective top five that we end up with.
Yes, and I think we should start with just a number one, okay? So what okay, we have well, to decide is Spider-Man or Batman our tentative number one?
I mean, look, I'm on record saying Spider-Man's the best. I like Batman more. I would put I would not put Batman lower than number two, but I would put Spider-Man number one. If we have to be objective and official about it, as is, which is what we do. This isn't us. Like, we're just the messengers of these official objective rankings.
We're simply speaking on behalf of fate, not Dr. Fate, the concept of fate.
Not the man called Fate.
So
he might go at number three.
He might. I do think that maybe we should start with a number one and number two, because there's no question that if we put Spider-Man at number one, Batman's number two.
Right. Okay. So let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
So we're gonna put Spider-Man (parentheses Peter Parker) at number one, and Batman (parentheses Bruce Wayne) at number two.
All right. This is the tougher one, I think. Who are we going to place to start at the bottom of the list?
Who shows up and you're just like, ugh, I got to read about this guy?
Is it Terry Long?
Ooh.
Here are some candidates that I have in mind, okay?
Okay, hit me, and we'll pick a low one.
Terry Long.
Uh-huh.
Lucy Lane.
Oof.
Red Tornado.
Red Tornado is pretty bad.
Wonder Man. Even though Wonder Man has had some redemption, I don't think we're putting Wonder Man at the very bottom.
Wonder Man I don't like, but I will freely admit that I have no basis for that. Like, it is just like it is a visceral reaction. I have read maybe like three stories with Wonder Man in them, and they're perfectly fine. But it's just like every time I see that guy, I'm like, ugh, I hate him in his face.
But I included Wonder Man because of your specific distaste for him. I honestly don't have anything against Wonder Man. I think he would probably be somewhere in the middle of the list.
Yeah, Wonder Man I feel like is as mediocre as a character can be. Like, just dead center.
Okay, so the other options, those are characters that we just hate to see, right? The other option is characters that have had one appearance, or only a handful of appearances, but they are the worst. The one that I am thinking of that probably will be that would hit that worst category would be Marcus.
Oh, really? The first time we do this, you're going to bring in Marcus?
Who's worse than Marcus?
Marcus is pretty bad.
Marcus, for listeners that don't know, is the time traveling character who comes back in Avengers number 200 and says that he's Carol Danvers' son, and then there's a lot of gross rape stuff that happens, and then she goes off with him through time, and then he's forgotten forever after that because he is the demonstrable worst.
Marcus is a character that, like, I don't even feel like I need to issue the disclaimer. Because I don't feel like anybody at Marvel's like, yeah, Marcus is great. I'm so mad that you talked about Marcus.
But isn't he the worst?
He's pretty bad. He's like, because I feel like there's a special category of worst where it's like, yeah, I have to admit that's the worst, but that's not even fun to talk about on this fun game that we're playing.
But people are going to send us stuff like that.
Yeah, okay, so we did a top two, so let's do a bottom two.
All right, I think Marcus is the total bottom.
I think Marcus is the fucking drizzling shits of the list.
Yes.
Does Marcus have a real name beyond Marcus, or is it just Marcus?
To my knowledge, to my recollection, he's just Marcus.
Okay, so let's put Marcus there. And you know what? Let's put Terry Long entering the list at number 3. So the list in its form right now is Terry Long is one spot below Batman.
Spider-Man, Batman, Terry Long, Marcus. Okay, that's our starting point.
Do we need to explain Terry Long to people?
If you would like, you may explain Terry Long.
Terry Long is Donna Troy's husband, and he's a creep. But he is a creep in a way that it is never, like, meant to be portrayed in the story that he's a creep. Like, he's just this weirdo who's a college professor who's, like, way older than Donna Troy, at least implicitly. Maybe I'm reading into it, but, you know, he has a beard. And he's, like, in his first appearance, like, he, like, hits on Starfire and, like, then quotes Steve Martin from Saturday Night Live. Like, he does a Will Excuse Me. It is the most skin-crawling first appearance. He's awful. He's the pits.
I think it's telling that we made two creepy guys the bottom two. We shall see where, and they're not even, well, I guess Marcus is more or less a supervillain.
Yeah. Well, is he though?
I don't know. I don't want to think about him anymore. But
Lucy Lane, I have a visceral reaction to, but I feel like that reaction makes her a better character because I feel like you're supposed to not like Lucy Lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Terry Long is just like,
If you judge her on the heel scale, if you judge her by heel characteristics, she's a great character because she gets exactly the reaction out of you that's intended.
She gets so much heat from me.
All right. Send your lists of characters for panel president or whatever it's going to be titled to warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. Limit it to 5. That's what we did for quotes, and I think it's fine for this as well. Limit it to 5 characters.
Do 5 at a time? That's going to be a big list by the end of the year.
All right, you want to cut it down to 3?
No, you know what? You know what? New year, new goals. Let's give the people their money's worth, Matt. Let's do 5 at a time.
Okay, we'll do 5 at a time. That's a maximum. If you want to do less, do less. But don't send any more than 5. In your list, send it to warrocketpodcast@gmail.com. That email address is also where you can send us listener questions and every story ever lists. You can also send listener questions to our Tumblr, which is warrocketpodcast.tumblr.com. Be sure to check out our website, which is warrocketajax.com. That's where you can see the every story ever list and the Word Heavyweight Champions list and the panel president list whenever we get that up. That is also where you can stream the show, download the show, read show notes, and leave comments. You will notice that we have a new player on almost every episode on the site. Hopefully by the time I get this episode up, it will be every episode on the site. I'm hoping that it works better than the old player, and you can download the show directly through that player by clicking on the little cloud. That is how you do that. Check us out on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and you search for War Rocket Ajax, that's where you'll find the show. If you like the show, leave us a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more we are featured on iTunes, which is great. Now we've reached the part of the show where we tell you all the different places you can find us on the internet. For me, all you have to do is go to about.me/MattDWilson, and you will find links to all my stuff. Chris, where can everybody find your stuff?
Matt, is Skype messing up, or are you just straight micro-machining it right now?
I was micro-machining it.
I'm genuinely impressed. You can find links to everything I do at about.me/ChrisSims. Obviously, if you like War Rocket Ajax, you might like Movie Fighters. That's the podcast where me and Matt watch a movie and then talk about it for a little while. Sometimes we get real mad. Sometimes we're just tired. Our latest episode has kicked off our rapper/actor series where we watched XXX State of the Union starring Ice Cube.
What is the official title of that series, Chris?
Rapper/actor, right back at you.
There you go.
I forget which Will Smith song that's from. I think it's from Men in Black. You should also check out Sailor Business. That's the podcast where me and Jordan D. White watch Sailor Moon with a friend every week. It's fun. X-Men 92, ongoing series, coming in a couple months. So check that out. Me, Chad, Alti Formancio, and Matt Miller back on colors. Travis Lennon back on letters. So 2016, here we go. Before we end, I do want to mention, we don't like to bring people down on the show, but man, what a week. We lost a couple of greats, and we didn't really get into it because we had a lot of show to do. But man, what a week! What a week it has been. Here's hoping that we get some better ones going forward in this new year.
Consider this episode to be in memory of Lemmy Kilmister, David Bowie, and Alan Rickman, a guy that I have often been told that I look like, making this even weirder and stranger and sadder. Those were three guys that we really loved, and we hate to see him go. We have expressed our love for Hans Gruber so many times on the show before. Go back and listen to our Die Hard commentary to hear more of that. Those are three dudes that we really love. Even though Lemmy wasn't this week, I'm including him. So yeah, let's hope that that was the end of that for 2016.
And we will see you next week, everybody.
Yeah! It's for every one of us. It's not for every one of us. It's not even a body. Hand every man, every horn, every tongue, every body flash. We are everything to Flash.
All right, the very last comic that we're going to talk about, I don't know why I'm saying very last.
Yeah, we're going to have three more next week.
The last comic
we might have some later in the show.